Hey guys, welcome to Bowler's Grind. I'm your host, Marshall Kennebrew. Today we have on Kyle Michalowski describing everything that went down this past week at the ABT National event. Hope you enjoy the conversation.
I want to hear, let's just pretend where we're going right now. So Kyle, you bowled ABT last weekend. I bowled as well, but you made it a little bit further than I did. So I wanted to talk to you first. Give me your takes on the pattern, what you saw, what you liked, and what you didn't like.
All right. So last week at ABT, I started bowling on Thursday night, and I was bowling. I went to bowl the first squad to just try to qualify with the less people there. I started off strong. I felt like the pattern wasn't too bad at first, but it was transitioning hard. I bowled with Chad, and Chad likes to tear up the lane really quickly. And on top of that, I don't know how much I affect the ball motion, which may also cause Chad to do stuff that causes my ball motion to start acting stronger. But basically, it got to the point where, like, first, second game, I was okay. And then third game, I just couldn't get my ball to go down lane. And Chad was telling me I just need to trust it. And, like, I could not get my ball going down lane. And this comes to a point that I'll talk about later, and I'll bring it back up later in the talk. But basically, I was unable to finish my last game, so I shot plus 45. For that first squad, and then I proceed to bowl again and again, and both the next squads I have nothing out there. And then the last one, Deontay came at the last set and was like, "So what are you doing?" And I was like, just trying to find a look. And he's like, he told me to move left, and I went over to the spot that he said, which was about 45, and he told me to just keep it slow and throw it just right. And I did, and it 2-8-10, and he's like, okay, good. So he went in my bag, grabbed a different ball, which was the Zen, because I was throwing the IQ Tour Nano Pearl when he told me to throw from 45. He's like, I want you to move five more boards and throw it to the same spot. So I moved five more boards. Now this was on the different lane, and at 3-6-10, and he was like, okay, so that lane hooks more. So we go back to the other lane, and he's like, go throw it in the same spot that you, or five boards left of the spot that we 2-8-10 with this ball. And I did that, struck. And then he's like, okay, good. So now this next game, you'll be able to have a good lineup and be able to shoot something. So the whole next game, I was left with the Zen and was just throwing it right and shot a decent game. Didn't turn out great because I threw a few bad shots. Just still in the mindset of trying to hit on it, because he was telling me to hit on it. But like, sometimes when I start to try to hit on it, I tug with my shoulder. So that didn't go as well as it did. But in terms of look wise, I had a lot out there. So it gave me some ideas. And then throughout the week, I kept going, or I came back the next day and gave it one more try because of on my first squad, I ended up qualifying, but for some reason I was not in gold in my first try, but I was in gold in all my other tries. So I don't know if that was a miscommunication or what, but so I just tried again. I bowled gold the next day in the afternoon squad on the fresh, because I wanted to practice. And I start off like my first set of the tournament, where first two games golden and the last game was just terrible. But it was enough to qualify for gold. So now I'm in gold, and I managed to get through doubles with Chad and Greg Mamick. So I'm going into the finals. I'm in doubles. I'm in gold. I'm in regular. My thought process that morning was, okay, so I need two things. I got to pay attention to who's on my pair because this pattern is really sensitive to everyone, every single squad. I had to pay attention to who was on my pair more than I've ever had to, just because of how sensitive the pattern was and how sensitive my ball reaction was to these other bowlers. So every single time someone did something different that made my ball reaction completely weird. So I get to the finals. In practice, I have a few good looks, and as soon as practice ends, all of them go out the window. I start splitting. I'm like, okay, I cannot throw this away for myself. So halfway into the first game, I come up with an idea to try to change things. So I think of the squad with Deontay where he said to get left. And then I also thought of something one of my coaches said, which was to try to look in front of you and draw the line away from you so that you can open up your angles without throwing it too straight to the out of bounds.
That's something that's very important for a lot of people that go from a house shot to a sport shot, is what you just said right there about opening up that line but not playing the out of bounds. Can you talk about that?
So basically, on a sport shot, there's always an out of bounds, and you don't want to get your ball over there because your ball's not going to hook from there. So there's some rare cases, like if your ball's doing the right thing, it will. But in a majority of situations, you don't want to get your ball there. So you're trying to get your ball steep enough, far enough left, and get it to stop before it hits the out of bounds and hook back. And you're trying to let that all happen within this window. When you look directly towards that line, sometimes the ball just gets to the out of bounds and that's it, end of story. But if you can keep your eyes in front of you, it lets your ball be in front of you for a little longer so it can have more time to go down lane without hitting the out of bounds and without already hooking. Because when you give more angle, it lets the ball have more time to shape, basically, depending on where you're throwing it from. But in terms of all the ball motion is giving it more time so it has the time to do the proper thing, because on a sport shot, a flat pattern, the middles usually hook and they hook quick. So when you're doing that, you're elongating that flatness on the pattern so that it has more time to create the proper shape so it doesn't overhook and split or go high or go Brooklyn. And so in my finals, to end my game, my first game, I started doing that, and I was like, okay, it's looking good. And I throw it over there, and it was kind of light. So I'm like, okay, I'll switch to the other ball that we used yesterday. I switch to that ball, strike, and then I keep going. So I go four in a row, and then I left I think it was a four pin, and then I spared it. I shoot 190 that game with back four. I'm like, okay, that's good. And then go into the next game. I didn't move, and this was stupid because there was a two-hander on my pair that was starting to get affected by my ball reaction. So he made a move, and I didn't move. And so I was doing the same thing, and then I started splitting the first half of the second game. So I'm like, crap, okay, I got to figure something out. So I move further left of him and do the same thing. And now where I made a mistake this time was I drew my angle too far that I took out the three pins on the right and I hit the out of bounds. But then I adjusted that and brought it in more. And then I went six in a row, nine spare to shoot 190 again.
So one thing I'm hearing about your story that kind of ties into a lot of the problems that I have on sport pattern is that I don't like the out of bounds, which is why I like to play straight up and use urethane a lot.
Yep.
And I'm pretty bad at moving left and knowing what the moves are ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And from what I'm hearing from you too, is that it's almost like when you were getting lined up, that became like a fallacy of truth, is where you saw it as, okay, cool, I'm good now, I can just stay here. But as right-handers know more than left-handers, and especially when you're looking at other bowlers, you got two-handers on your lane, it's a sport pattern. When you get lined up and you shoot four strikes, is the right move going forward, is this something that you want to focus on, knowing what the next move should be, whether it's a pre-move or a ball once you've had success? Because a lot of times I'll have success and then my feet won't want to move because I think, oh, new game, I'm ready to go. And like you said, hitting the face of the head pin. So what are your thoughts there?
So the trick with that is that on sport patterns, you have to know the characteristics of the pattern more or less. If the pattern, for example, this one was changing a lot, you need to start changing a lot. If there's not a lot of oil on the lane, you have to move a lot. So if there's a lot of oil, then you're most likely not going to have to move a lot, or you're going to have to even close down things because there's going to be oil starting to push around and the lanes are going to get tighter. And so the thing about bowling on sport patterns is you kind of got to learn what moves work on what distances, because on longer patterns, you may think it's beneficial to create more angle, but it's actually not. It's better just parallel your moves a lot of the time, because when you create more angle, all you're doing is getting to that early friction that you created, because the lanes are so, the oil is so thin because the pattern is long and it's spread out, that all you're doing is throwing it to the hook spot that you created quicker, so that your ball is just going to hook off of it and split. Whereas if you parallel in, you're letting your ball sail through, and then if you miss right, it has a chance of bouncing off that hook spot and still striking. But in terms of your line, you're basically holding the whole way through and fading it into the pocket. And so that also gives you miss room left, because if you miss left on that, then you're probably going high flush on that long pattern. So it all depends on the situation, but basically you got to also pay attention to how your moves work for you. Like, I realized recently that when I make a one and two, a lot of times it's doesn't work. I need to be doing three and twos. And I've been I did a lot of three and twos this week to shoot my good scores at ABT. And that helped tremendously, because whenever I did a two and one, it just, the angles were off and my ball was either overhooking or underhooking or whatever. But whenever I did a three and two, I had hold and my angles weren't going too far and hitting the out of bounds or any of that. So that's basically something that you kind of have to learn through your game. But that's the point of bowling on sport patterns more often, is that you learn these things and you also learn how to miss. That's why I don't think house shots are very beneficial to bowlers who want to bowl competitively, because they reward you for missing. And on sport shots, they reward you for missing the right way.
Right. Now that makes a lot of sense. I had a thought in regards to something that you said in terms of the 3-2 move. So a lot of times I wanted to kind of talk to you about just the proper parallel moves as far as your feet, your eyes, your angles. Me as a bowler, I go by like what I'm seeing, but a lot of times I don't have a progressive thought process in regards to, you know, like a 9-inning baseball game. I don't have a relief pitcher, a closer ready. I don't have any of that ready. I'm going by every inning, what I'm seeing, what I'm feeling. And a lot of times in sports, and especially in bowling, a game that's highly a mental, you know, you have to have some sort of a mental capacity going on to make the right adjustments with what you're seeing, not just be reactive to the situation. I'm learning that it is beneficial to have a ball plan. You know, whether you're, you know, this is my arsenal and this is what I should be doing if this is happening, but also having a plan for your moves. So what I'm hearing from you is that, like, you yourself, a bowler, you pulled two back-to-back 300s, you've won multiple tournaments. You yourself are learning that you have to even edit your own foot moves with your eyes, because on a sport pattern, 2-1 wasn't working. And going forward, I look at this as an opportunity for both of us, but especially me. Like, if I'm going to be going in tournaments, going let's say this example, or let's just say this weekend, for example, the Balls and Babes tournament, the sport pattern. Sometimes I believe they let the pattern be out. I usually will see the pattern, maybe look up online balls to use, like what would be a good ball and good starting place.
Yep.
But from what I'm hearing from you is, if the tournament is won and you make it to the cash after practice, so the starting place doesn't matter. You're already at a new spot. You're already in a new angle. And if you've made that wrong adjustment from the get-go, you are going to be – it's just going to be a mountain to climb from the get-go. And you see other bowlers like Chad, or just, you know, just bowlers that have been bowling a while. They're there to break down those lanes. They're there to make it to where, like you said, they are going to have the optimal miss room. Maybe not in the first few frames, but as the game starts to develop, their shot is just going to be I think Jerry Johnson has quoted saying that, like, yeah, sometimes my first game's a little low, but I'm setting it up. I'm setting up that lane for success as it goes on. So I think something for me and you would be cool to do is to not only do that for ourselves, but to let others know how we, you know, let's say we go to GameWorks, we get on a fresh pattern, we bowl three games with each other, you're two-handed, I got a lower ball speed. It would be very beneficial for us to either A, write down those notes of our moves and know what they are confidently. So that way, if we see that pattern in the future, we know, okay, after warmups, you're probably going to want to start here. You're going to want to be moving these moves. These moves aren't small enough. These moves need to be bigger. Yep. And every pattern's different, right? Every pattern's different. Every pair's different. Mm. So to give people a perspective, an ongoing perspective of how we break down the lanes, I think is something that will really help myself become a better bowler. So I just wanted to talk about that because I find that very, very, very important to hear. I don't think about these things that much.
So basically, from here on, I would just try to be more apparent, observant of what moves work for you on patterns, and just put it together so that, like, when you need more angle, if a 2-1 makes your ball start hooking too much or it just goes too far right, then maybe a 3-2 will put you in more oil but be far enough away from or be close enough to the friction that it doesn't just 2-8-10 and just completely ruin your thought process. Because, like, that's one thing I ran into a lot, is that I would come from one spot and then I'd be like, okay, well, I made a move, it didn't work, so I'm just gonna make a big move. I make a big move in 2-8-10 almost every time that happened for a while. And so just learning how to make the smaller move that works without making the massive move that puts you in a world of hurt. Because almost always for me, it was 2-8-10. It was nothing else but 2-8-10 when I made that big move. And those are hard to pick up. And so,
go ahead, keep going.
And so basically, going back to ABT, I bowled bad to start off. I should have moved off of the guy moving. I should have paid more attention to him. And I knew the whole week that I had to pay attention to the other people. And for some reason, I just didn't pay attention to that guy's move. Because he went and even started throwing the exact same ball I was throwing. So I should have picked up that he was moving into where I was and moved further. And so that's where I screwed up. But in terms of that game, I still felt like the last game, I put myself in a position to score. It's just I didn't put myself in the right moves to make that happen. And so unfortunately that squad fell out and I didn't make it any further. I managed to do what I wanted to do, which was not throw it away and put myself in a position to give myself a chance. I didn't miss any easy spares in that set. I completely put myself in the position that I wanted to be in and gave myself a chance to make it. Because if I would have struck out in those two frames that I was talking to you and Jason and on the side, if I would have struck out in those two frames, I would have either tied with Chad or missed it by one, which I'm not sure. I don't remember what the numbers were exactly, but that would have been close enough to put myself in it. And that would have just been one pin falling on like a good shot that would have made the difference. So in terms of ABT, I felt like I bowled good and bad this whole week. And I definitely have a lot to take away from it. Mostly, I need to start looking in front of me more often. I've been told that. And then for some reason, I keep going back to looking away from me, which has been causing issues because when I look away from me, I'm...
Define away. When you say away, up, down, left, like where do you
look? So like, normally I look like I'll stand 20 and look at the exact arrow that I'm looking at, and that's where I'll try to hit. What I am now doing is standing 20, looking at 20, and then drawing down to 10 down lane, because for some reason, how I throw it or whatever, when I do that, it creates my ball roll looks better, and on top of that, my angles are more controllable. Like I'm able to get it on that steep controlled angle that misses the doesn't hit the out of bounds in time. I'm able to do that when I'm doing that, but when I'm looking directly where I want to hit, I can't do that.
So it's almost like you're saying you, instead of staring directly with your eyes at the second arrow, you will look directly at the fourth arrow, but your peripherals can see where the second arrow is. You're almost bowling with your peripherals almost?
Kind of. Like, I kind of do it from like, I'll look at fourth arrow and I'll look at whichever pin down lane that I want it to be going towards. And then I go from there. And then I try to follow that path. And that creates the angle that I want in the ball motion, and then just where I'm standing kind of edits where my ball goes. So I will move it away from me a little bit once I want it straighter. And this is why I think it works, because of how up the back my ball roll is. When I look directly at it, my hand is forcing the ball into a straighter path on that line, which creates that early hook that I have such a problem with. But when I throw it from in front of me out, it opens my line and allows me to take advantage of what, like, Belmo and all the like the slower two-handers who don't just pipe it, like Kyle Troop and then sometimes Simo, what they take advantage of, which is being able to use the lane as their hold to make it easier on these harder patterns. So basically, I'm giving myself a new option that allows me to give my ball roll more hold, because my ball read is so hard in the front that it doesn't let me get my balls down lane a lot of the time. So I'm using like super strong balls, like for way far further left than I should ever be, and I'm using really weak balls straighter than I should because I just can't get them to get back from there. But when I'm able to do that, I'm now able to get those weak balls back from there and shaping the right way. But I wasn't able to do that when I was looking the other way.
You know, that's really fascinating that you're identifying your eyesight is changing your angles and changing a lot of things in your game, because as you're saying this now, I'm going to pivot into some of my experience. Is there any more you want to talk about as far as ABT or just things that you had or just anything in that regards? Because I'm about to go on a little tangent.
Wrapped up all my ABT experience. It was basically that. I grinded it out and I was good and bad, but I'm hoping this takeaway with the eyesight thing will be the big game changer in my game going forward.
Well, sometimes, man, you're forced to learn these hard life lessons. And in this case, it was a bowling lesson at an inopportune time, right? You want to win. You got your money invested. No one wants to lose. But the fact that you can walk away learning a fundamental lesson, not just going, I don't know what happened, with your hands up and just walking out of the building and going, well, tomorrow I got to go to work. That's what a lot of people will do. They'll just treat it as an L, not investigate, not go back to the drawing board, not go practice. So again, I know it might suck to say this, but you're probably going to get better from that situation. Hmm. And if you would have made the cut, you might not have been as critical as you are right now. Yep. You might have been more like, oh, dude, I made the cut. Screw all the other shots that I did, you know, screw all the issues with my eyesight and the move. I made the cut. So again, sometimes in victory, we get fickle responses of like, I'm great. But it's like, dude, you're great, but you're also wanting to be more great. So, you know, it would have been nice to squeeze a win out, but dude, only one person wins. And you're, as Eric would say, the odds are statistically so low. So the fact that you even got that close, man. Applause to you. Congratulations.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, no problem. But I, from my perspective, as someone that was not even at the top 32, sitting in the stands, watching you, watching Becca, watching Chad, other bowlers, just literally, man, I'm trying to take it all in. Hearing you talk about the eyesight thing, that is so – it's impacting me as a listener, listening to your story, because so many times – my angles are screwed up. You know, it really is not the ball. It is not the pressure. I've dealt with so many higher pressure moments in other sports that some moments I'm just missing the shot. And especially on the sport pattern, like you said, it's not forgiving. I don't have that free hook bringing it back to the pocket. If my angles are jacked, it is exposed not only on strike shots, but on my spare shot.
Yeah.
So when I'm drifting right, if my eye starts aren't locked up right, I'm missing spares by 3, 4, 5 inches, sometimes bigger, as my girlfriend would say. But the point is, I'm hearing you talk about the actual eyesight and looking more straight ahead and getting the ball out more. And I'm thinking about how I walk 10 boards to the right. So when I stand on the 20 board, I typically land on 18, maybe 17. There's like a 2-3 board drift. It's pretty straight up. Yeah. Now, if I move to 30, 34, 35, 40 or whatever, if I ever have to do that, I sometimes land back at 25. At the most extreme cases, I will drift 15 boards. Mm. Now, if you're asking me, if I'm standing at 40, what arrow am I trying to go through? Well, the logical thing would be what, fourth arrow, right? Or inside the fourth arrow? Would that be correct?
Most of the time, but sometimes
maybe like 17 board, something on a typical house shot.
Yeah.
So problem is, as I'm walking to that fourth arrow or that 17 board, I'm staring at it. I'm drawing a laser line through where the arrows are, but to the right, in between both fourth and third arrow. And as I'm staring at it and I start my walk, I'm walking directly towards that arrow. So I'm realizing that just in my practice that I had last night, I was really practicing on staying left and getting the ball out. And I was looking more on like the second arrow or third arrow from the left. Not intentionally. It's just because my foot was on the 40 board. That's the first arrow to the left, is that correct?
The 40 board, that's either the first arrow to the left or that is the gutter.
So here's what I did before I actually sent like a couple shots and was just bowling my game. I set up my bowling bag and I laid it out long ways all the way from like 35, no, it was about 30. I didn't want to hit it. So from like 30 long ways. So as I'm walking up, my eyes were looking down to make sure that I stayed left. Okay. Yep. And it forced my body to look down at like 30, 35 instead of looking at the arrows. Okay. So I was looking at like where my feet have to land versus where the ball has to go. And because of that, it allowed the ball to go where it needed to go versus me staring at the target. And as soon as I start walking, all my body goes towards that target.
Yep.
So what you're saying is gold to my ears, because tonight it is, we're recording right now. It is 10:14 Tuesday night, getting things done. I'm going to go practice the South Point. They stop sales at 1 a.m. So after we record this, I'm going to head down there and I'm going to work on eyesight. That's it. I worked on the bag yesterday. So I dealt with that physical object being there and me like struggling, looking like an idiot. And I remember people were just kind of like, what is this guy doing? But I physically wanted to feel awkward. Mm-hmm. And once I took it away, it was like a placebo effect. I started staying more left. My eyesight was more locked in on the left side of the lane, which allowed my body to let the ball go out and have the room to have it go out instead of me walking in a beeline towards that third arrow. And as soon as I place it down, I land on 25, dropping it at 20. It rolls up 15. Dude, I have no shot of hitting the pocket. And as you've seen, that's a lot of my shots. There's one posted on Facebook where I'm dropping it down right into the dry. So, this eyesight thing that you're speaking of, Kyle, is gold to my ears. And if you ever want to speak on that, feel free to jump in there.
So, yeah, because basically I went to even practice to verify it was like working for me, even like when I moved, right? So first thing I did at practice yesterday was I stood on 5. I did the same thing and just drew it straight down. The ball went straight up the gutter. And obviously, I was on a house shot, so it hooked all the way across the lane. But it did not go, like, I didn't do anything but look dead in front of me at the first dot arrow. And I looked at the first arrow and just stayed on there. It went dead up the gutter and then started hooking when it started hooking. And went all the way to the 7-pin, but the point of my shot was to just go up the gutter and not have it go in the gutter. Well, not looking at going up the gutter, if you know what I mean. So I threw all those different shots, and then I moved to like the middle where I was. I was like, okay, now I'm just going to play a game and see how it goes. Just kept striking. And then I threw, I forgot what happened on the shot. I think I rushed it a little bit and threw it right a little early. And it split because it just bit, banged off of it on the friction. And then I was like, okay. And then go back to it, strike, shoot 250 without any effort or any like real hard focus, just focusing on that eyesight thing, shoot 250, just doing that. And just kind of trying to dial it in. And I was like, oh, okay. So now I'm kind of excited about my bowling right now.
No, and you just said that you are excited about focusing on the eyesight. I couldn't agree more because literally, man, this is not something that I have focused on. I have focused on balls. I focused on which style. I focused on landing spot. I did not realize how jacked up my angles were and how much my eyesight as far as what I'm looking at changes where I'm walking and changes the whole mechanical everything I'm trying to accomplish as far as my shot goes. So I think you had a quite, what were you saying about ABT?
So now what did you see at ABT, and did any of the things that you were working on this week come from what you saw at ABT?
So ABT was brief for me. I thought about doing the first day. There's been times in the past where I have gone on the first day and it's worked. There's typically not a lot of people from, you know, the weekend crowd's not here. You can get in even if it's night or any time in the day, just kind of have a nice, comfortable set. But for me, my girlfriend was feeling it. I wasn't. My left butt cheek was killing me. I had been doing a lot of two-handed work on Tuesday and Wednesday, and I just didn't feel like I was going to bowl that well. I hadn't practiced in it in about 5 days. So my mind was like, you know, I'd rather just do some practice tonight. I want to watch you qualify. I want to just support the people that are there and make sure that I'm at my best come Sunday. Well, that didn't work out for me because I was fresh as could be Sunday. I decided to go to the last squad. And I'm getting to the point of the things that I learned as far as my eyesight and the issues that I struggled with, but showed up at the last squad Saturday night, 9 p.m. I was on the right side and there was three bowlers over there. And one of them was my girlfriend. So literally zero pressure at all. I couldn't have asked for a better situation. Two lefties on my lane. I was the only righty. So basically, there was plenty carry on the typical flat pattern. If you don't, you know, overhook in the middle, out of bounds to the right. So yep. I knew it was on me. I knew from the moment I walked in there, I was like, oh, cool. There's literally no excuse other than the brain in between my ears. So as I started, the thought process, let's just see how much it is hooking. And I went with my jagged edge. I wanted to get a feel with just if I can try to score with reactive and get a high score. Couple bad shots as far as letting it get out of bounds. Part of that is my drift. A part of that throwing it out of bounds, I'll look down, especially in warmups, I'll look down and I'm five more boards to the right where I wanted to be. And then as soon as I look down, the ball then carries out five more boards. And so sometimes when you're dealing with a mechanical problem that you don't know how to fix, it's almost like you're a prisoner to yourself. And that's what it felt like. Even in warm-up, I was looking down going, man, this is going to be a long day. But, you know, I think Eric has mentioned this in the past. I still know that I could pick up my spares and make it to the cut. Because the cut, come to find out, was only, I think, plus eight.
Yeah, and spares are – they matter a lot.
Oh, they're huge, you know. And I'm getting maybe like – I think it was 29 pens or 30 pens, something like that. So, you know, with the cut being plus nine, you can get there a plethora of ways. But one way you can't get there is blowing spares because you have a drift issue. And again, so I knew that I had for the past about 10 days or so had some mechanical problems, hadn't had the time to work it out. So it was almost like once I was dropping lower and lower. I think my first game I shot a 165. Second game I shot a 165 or 164. So they were doable. I knew I was in the ballpark. I knew I didn't have to do anything. And I could throw nine spare and throw a 190 and probably get there the last game. But I didn't have a feel for what I was trying to do. All my shots were so inconsistent that I'm either going Brooklyn, getting a strike, going high, hitting seven pins, missing a spare, only hitting two of them. It was just messy. And when I evaluate my own game, when I know that my game is messy, I know that probably other people know that. So once I got out of there, I think I finished at minus 20, something like that. I knew I wasn't going to make the cut, and I felt like I didn't deserve to make the cut. And there was no one to blame. There was not, it just was one of those like, okay, well, I got to go back to the drawing board and figure out this issue. And so for me, it was just one of those, you know, they say like the patient never likes to take the medicine, but it was the medicine I needed to get better because I took it and I said, you know, I have some work to do this next week. And I started planning and I started plotting and we're here now. So that was my takeaway from my experience.
So with all that you did at ABT, there was some good and bad takeaways. Were there any takeaways outside of bowling that you saw, like other people bowling or anything that you saw during the finals that you learned from?
Well, I mean, like I said, there really wasn't much more for me to go in on myself other than that I knew that I needed to get mechanically more sound. And so to put a cap on that, that's what I'm doing this week. That's what I'm going to be doing in the next hour or so when I head down there, working on some more drill work. But as far as just maybe like things that I saw from other bowlers, maybe just the whole takeaway from it all, spares. And again, you know how many times I've heard other bowlers talk about spares, but what does that mean? What does that really mean? So then when I say, okay, spares, every spare you shoot is just as important as your strike shot. And I think some people lose that respect towards the spares. I think from the moment they start, they have this idea that they're some bowler that they see on the PBA on television, and that if they don't strike every single time, it's a pity party. And I've never adopted that mentality, and I don't want to adopt that mentality as I become a better bowler, because as I watch good bowlers that, you know, yeah, they might string three together and then they throw a great shot and they leave a corner pin. Well, you still got to get that corner pin. But those that then drift to the past and they cannot get it out of their brain as to why that 10th pin did not fall down, they typically miss. They typically miss that spare. And, you know, some bowlers, maybe they're good enough where they can get mad and pick it up. That's great. You're in your whole world of your own. But I would say on the average bowler scale or the average ABT amateur bowler, it does not help you to be your own enemy in shooting your spares. And if you treat spares as if it's like the first shot or you get 10 for hitting one, I think the psychology in spares would be a lot different. So the way I approach spares, and hopefully once my striking starts to go up, it will help my overall game. When I hit that spare, I just struck. And every time I'm left with two pins that I can pick up or one, I look at that as an opportunity to quote unquote strike with that spare. So my takeaway again with spares is have a better relationship with spares, have a better psychological plan with how you're going to approach them. And, you know, splits are going to happen. That's out of your control. Sometimes striking is out of your control on a tough pattern. So the spares is the whole meat and potatoes of the game of bowling. It's what I'm learning.
All right. Is there any stories that you wanted to tell from ABT?
From my perspective, no. Like I said, it was a brief experience. I plan on going a little harder at the next one, trying to get a couple more squads under my belt. I do know the winner, Mr. Rome Hicks. I would rather have him tell the story, but just to kind of put a cap on his, like a little recap on it, the man showed up with 2 minutes left in warm-ups. And when they announced the cut score the morning of on Saturday, it was a Sunday morning, they announced the cut of everyone that made the finals. He was in California. So the man bought a plane ticket, flew out. He told me he ate shit at the airport, just totally ate shit in his skinny jeans, and I was laughing because that was hysterical. But dude walked in, I saw him running in with 2 minutes left, threw one ball in warmups, and he ended up winning the whole thing. So I don't get how that's possible, but he did it. I think he was saying he was just purely running off adrenaline and just high hopes, you know what I mean? But it worked out for him, and love to have him on and have him have his perspective in that regard. But congratulations to Rome and everyone else that did make it to the finals, the top four, and such. I know Chad was there, Sophia, and then another gentleman, something Rash. I forgot his first name, but he was all over the caching boards and the sweepers and stuff throughout the weekend.
All right. So that is a pretty incredible story. Last minute, shows up, lucks out because practice was delayed.
Oh, my gosh.
Wins the whole thing.
Yeah, I forgot about that, right? So I'm watching you guys all get – and that's another thing. So let's talk about this, lane issues. How many times have we been in tournaments? I know I have, at the Wildfire, Santa Fe, not to pull out – but literally every bowling alley has lane issues. Even the South Point, the stadium, they had four times where they had to reset. And I think it was like 6 minutes into the first one, they reset it. And do you know what the issue was exactly, Kyle?
Oh, no, it's just like a system error. It was probably not firing the right way. So basically, because what was happening is you'd throw a ball and the pins would, or the rack wouldn't come down, so all the pins for the spare, it wouldn't sweep all the pins that are just lying around from the basically the deadwood. It would just leave everything how it is, how the ball was, and then you throw your second shot and then it would sweep. So for some reason it was just glitching out, but obviously things like that eventually happen every once in a while, and it's just another part of tournaments. Try to not let it get to you, kind of like the spare thing. If you do, then it just becomes another problem.
Yeah, no, and just in a world of problems, right? Like, I mean, you don't want to add your own self to that list. And when there's things that are out of your control, that's essentially what you're doing. You're just adding a list of issues to focus on. And I remember watching, there were some bowlers that did not enjoy having to reset a couple times. They were physically bothered by the fact that they had to stop their routine, put their ball down, and wait. And I could promise you, they might have bowled just as good as they would have, but there are some that did not, because from that perspective, they're mad. They're, woe is me.
Yeah.
And I promise you, the other half that did not let that affect them, they were focused on what they were there to do. Bowl. They were either take a seat. That's an opportunity to drink some water, eat a snack, listen to another song. I mean, there's a thousand things you can do other than emphasize the issue. So, and again, I've never seen it reset for the entire lane four times, but the fact that it took all four times for Rome to have 2 minutes left, I don't even know what the cutoff time is for. I mean, if they throw the first ball, is he now out? But yeah, he literally.
About yep. So, first frame, if he gets to him, he would just be, or if everyone on the pair throws their first ball, it would be done.
Yeah, man, that's talking about statistics just to win the tournament are low, but for that to have worked out and for him to be there, man, pretty wild. So that I would say that was the story of all stories in regards to ABT.
Yeah, hopefully we can get him on, have him tell the story from his perspective, and maybe ask him some other questions about his new ABT national championship.
Yeah, man, that's a big deal. When you win a 10K event like Mr. Hatchet, is there some sort of ban you have, or is he not allowed to do ABT again, or how does that work?
So that happens with TAT. It does not happen with ABT. They just take pins away from you if you cash an ABT. And if you have no pins, then congratulations. You don't have to worry about anything.
Well, I would say Rome Hicks is going to have to look forward to not having some pins in his future because he tore it up. He bowled pretty well. So, again, congrats to him. Do you have any tournaments coming up this weekend, Kyle?
Nope. I plan on just focusing on practice, and I need to make up some money from all the bowling that I've been doing.
There you go, man. Hey, that's why we do it, right? We bowl to make a little money, but at the end of the day, having that strong base is far more reliable than to need to have to win in a game, you know, where the odds are stacked against you. So I hear that all day.
Sounds good.
It's all doable. Cool, man. All right, good talk. We got a lot done, and I'm going to end it, so I'll talk to you later.
All right, tell me how it goes.
Oh, for sure. I'll let you know, man. All right.
Have a good night.
Later. You too. Bye.
If you took the time to make it all the way through this podcast, we would really appreciate a like or any sort of feedback. If you want to throw it through the DM or comments, appreciate that on Facebook. And we'll be putting these out about once a week, covering the tournaments going on in the cities, any sort of drill works that we're personally got going on in our games, and just hopefully have a lot of good conversations with different bowlers throughout the city. Hope everyone has a good night.